Anybody willing to take a guess as to what we're going to be talking about during our next sermon series? On the count of three. One, two, three.
Hope.
We're going to be talking about hope. We're going to be talking about hope. I realized a while back that I had preached on faith quite extensively. And I also realized I had preached on love quite extensively. But in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, and these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And I realize I preached on love and preached on faith, but I hadn't intentionally preached on hope. I don't know a single sermon in my entire career. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to dive into this study and find out what it is about this word hope and this idea of hope, this thing that is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament that said that all Christians and all believers in God Almighty are supposed to have. What is it about this hope that's so important for Christians to understand? And also, what are some of the issues that come up in our lives that would steal that hope or would lead us into hopelessness? And folks, let's be honest, there are times where we do feel hopeless and where our hope feels robbed or stolen away from us. So I want to get into the idea of biblical hope and what it means and what are the obstacles involved here and what does it mean for a Christian that doesn't have hope and what does it mean for a Christian who does. So today we're going to jump right in with the definition of hope. The definition of hope. Now this is out of the Webster's Dictionary, and it says this: hope is the feeling that what is wanted can be what? Had. Or that events will turn out for the... Now I can tell there are some of you here today, you struggle with that definition of hope already. Because you say, Pastor, I've lived long enough to have issues with that definition. When you say the feeling that what is wanted can be had, well, I've lived long enough to have hoped for lots of things and not gotten those things. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. And then the second part of the definition, it says that events will turn out for the best. You can say, I've lived long enough to have lived through events that didn't seem like they turned out for the best. Can I get an amen? So you're struggling today with this definition, and people in general in our society struggle with this definition of hope. It's difficult for us to believe what it's supposed to accomplish in our lives and to actually have it. So I want to say this. I'm going to paraphrase the definition, and let's repeat this together. Hope is possibility. Hope is the promise of good things to come. Now that's going to frame our entire message today, and I'm going to show you how this is true, and you can have hope, you can put a smile on your face today, you can believe in greater things to come, you can believe in possibilities, you can believe that there is something great coming down the road. You can. I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through, what you brought into this place with you today, you can be filled with hope today. I promise. But we're going to have to get into the details. We're going to have to do a little work for you to get there. Some of you are going to have to work a little harder, and you're going to have to meditate on this a little longer. You may even have to walk out of here today and pray about this for a while, but I promise, if you'll look at the scriptures I share today, and you consider the points that we work through, and you will truly understand what true hope is all about, you're going to have it, Christian. You're going to have it, believer in Jesus Christ. You're going to have it, follower of Almighty God. You will have hope if you'll learn what hope's all about. I'm going to share a scripture with you today, Psalm chapter 42, verse 5. And if you got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. If not, it's on the screen and it's on your notes. No excuse not to follow along this morning. Psalm chapter 42, verse 5. It says this: why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Now that word countenance can be translated as favor. Okay, so understanding that is the favor of God or the blessing of God. Let's read it again. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? The idea is that somebody's what? Depressed, or they're hurting. They're feeling like they're in the middle of that darkness in that pit and they can't get out. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? That means there's turmoil. There's some sort of strife in your spirit this morning. Something that you're truly struggling with and you've been hopeless. This is what the psalmist advises. Hope in who? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him. In other words, right now things are kind of bad. Right now things are difficult. Right now things are leading me to a place of hopelessness. I can't look at the stuff that's going on around me. I can't look at the world and say, I've got reason to be hope. Be hopeful. But he says this, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His favor or blessing. That means it's what? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. His favor, His blessing, it's coming. I just got to get through this time. Can I get an amen this morning, church? Now, let's bring this up, Caitlin. I've got a little short paragraph, and I started your sermon notes with this today, and I encourage you to read it and understand it. Perhaps you're experiencing a dark time in your life, full of depression, uneasiness, and doubt. I don't want you to raise your hands. I don't want to call anybody out. But I want you to understand as we get into this, as we dive into this sermon today, if you're here, this message is for you. Okay? If this is where you are, depression, uneasiness, doubt, maybe you feel like nothing good is going to come of your situation and nothing good is even possible, right? Not only is your situation bad and you don't think it's going to get any better, right? Because you've worked it all out in your mind, you've done the paperwork, right? Has anybody ever sat down and just tried to fix a problem? Raise your hand if you've tried to fix a problem and you wrote little notes down and you watched some self-help videos. Maybe you read a book. Maybe you dived into the scripture and you said, I can't figure out how this is going to get better. So you resolve yourself to this idea that it's just not going to. And maybe you've had time after time after time where things haven't gone your way and you've been convinced there's no hope. Nothing ever goes right for me. It always turns out bad. Maybe you're there this morning. Perhaps you've lost your hope. If so, may I suggest a reason for this? And this is where we're going to get started. Is it possible that you have put your hope in the wrong place? Is it possible this morning, if you are in that dark place, that bad place, that place where you feel like nothing's possible, nothing good's going to happen, nothing good's ever going to happen, is it possible that you have put your hope in the wrong place? I want to share a couple of pictures with you this morning. Kate and I've got three of them. Here's some stuff I found when I typed in hopelessness on the internet. Okay? Hopelessness. Here are some of the graphics. I'm tired of getting my hopes up for things that I know will never happen. Now, that's a sentiment that a lot of you can understand, and maybe even a phrase you've said before. Not in so many words, but maybe you said something very similar. I'm tired of getting my hopes up for things that I know will never happen. Well, let me explain to you the problem with that phrase all by itself. Hope in and of itself means that you believe something good's going to come of your situation. Hope in and of itself means that you believe something good is going to come. So the idea that you say, I'm getting tired of getting my hopes up for things that I know will never happen, means that you already made your mind up. You didn't have hope in the first place. You were hopeless to start with. You still haven't gotten any hope, and you're wallowing in it right now. Do you understand the problem with that phrase? So if you've ever said it, if you've ever thought it, understand you still haven't gotten your mind and spirit right with this idea of hope. Your hope is still misplaced. Let's take a look at the next one. Now, I'm sorry if anybody's offended by the second word here. It didn't bother me in this context, okay? So I'm going to read it to you because this reflects what a lot of people outside the church, and whether you'll admit it or not, inside the church believe. You ready for this? What screws us up most in life is the picture in our head of how it is supposed to be. See, you get in your mind that you're supposed to have plenty of money. So when you don't have plenty of money, you say, this isn't right. And you wallow in the hopelessness. You say to yourself, my kids are supposed to behave. My kids are supposed to live this sort of life because this is what I taught them. This is the example I set for them. And then when they don't, and they go off on their own thing, doing their own stuff, you say, how is this right? They're not doing what I taught them to do, right? They're supposed to be this way, and they're not. You wallow in your hopelessness, right? Are you following me this morning, church? I hope that you are. Listen, you say, people are supposed to be healthy, and they're supposed to be happy, and the Lord's supposed to answer all my prayers. So when you don't feel like that has happened, when people in your life get sick, when people in your life go on to be with the Lord, when things in your life aren't going the way that you think they should, when people around you aren't happy, you say, what's wrong with this picture? It's supposed to be different. It's supposed to be better. And that is where you make your mistake. Because the Scripture teaches us very clearly that in this world, you will have hardship. You will have trouble. For goodness sakes, Christians, Jesus Christ, the Father of our faith, the author of our faith, the one in which we trust for salvation and redemption, the one in which we look to for strength and encouragement and leadership, got hung on a cross. For goodness sakes, His life wasn't great. His life wasn't full of good stuff. Yet Christians, time and time and time again, they build up all of this false hope. And then when this stuff doesn't happen the way they think it should, they wallow in hopelessness. Because if God can't come through here, if life's not going to get any better than this, if we can't even get this right, what hope is there? Last picture of the day. Sick of living on false hope. Are you sick of living on false hope? If you're sick of living on false hope, I want you to say on the count of three, I'm sick of it. One, two, three. I'm going to tell you something. That's terrible. You're in the wrong state of mind this morning. Mike is the only one here that's sick of living on false hope, because I'm going to show you what real hope looks like in a second. I'm going to show you what's going to give you real joy, what's going to give you real life, what's going to charge you up this morning. But if you're not ready for that, if you want to continue to wallow in that pit, if you want to continue to put your hope in junk that's never going to satisfy you, then fine. You stay right there. I don't want you there. God doesn't want you there, and you don't have to be there. But if that's all you want, that's all you're going to get. So once again, on the count of three, if you are sick of living in false hope, I want you all to say, I'm sick of it. One, two, three. It's better. But man, I hope the content and the depth of this message today is going to lead you to really be sick of it and to say, I refuse to live that way anymore. Not only do I refuse to live that way, I don't want to teach my kids to live that way. I don't want to teach the people around me to live that way. This is not what God has planned for my life. Let's jump right in. The first thing I want you to understand this morning is the false hope comes in and of itself from hope in the world. Hope in the world. Now, I'm not talking about the planet Earth. I'm not talking about Terra. I'm not talking about a globe. I'm talking about the world in the sense that we live in a world. We interact with people and circumstances, and things happen and we respond to those things. There are things we like, there are things we're tempted with, right? That's the world that we live in, the experience of life. When you put your hope in the world, it is false hope. It is false hope. Now, I didn't even put this in the notes, but I'm going to share this with you because I feel compelled by the Spirit to share it. The very first reason why putting all of your hope in the world is because this world is passing away. This world is passing away. And as Christians, as believers, we need to understand that when we put our faith in something that we know is being destroyed, that's being worn down, that one day will be no more, then you have essentially put your hope in the very worst place you possibly could, because eventually your hope is going to be destroyed. Because the earth is passing away. It is a created thing. And it's going to die just like everything else. If you put your faith and your hope in the world, you're destined for failure. But let's jump right in this morning. The world is broken. Look to your neighbor and say, this world is broken. This world is broken, folks. And I don't care how many times I counsel people or talk to people or answer questions about why this happened. Or how could God allow this to take place? Or how is it that it's possible that we serve a God that would allow wars or would allow famine or would allow any of this bad stuff to happen? If I've had to answer this question once, I've answered it 1,000 times. If you believe in the Lord God Almighty and you believe in the testimony of the Scriptures, you believe that the world was created good. You were created good. You were placed in a place called Eden, which is translated in the New Testament as paradise. We were put in this great place that God said, this is what I want for my creation. I want a perfect place where everything is what? Good. But here's the thing. God gave you the ability to choose. He gave you the ability to choose. And listen, if you go back to Genesis, He gave us one rule. One stinking rule, right? Don't eat anything on that tree. You can have all the rest of it. You can enjoy paradise. Folks, these people didn't even know they were naked. They had no concept of any of this. All they were doing was every day enjoying paradise. And because they decided to disobey, they were cast out of paradise. Now listen, we can get into all kinds of deep doctrinal, theological, philosophical discussion about that moment in Genesis and what it means and all of that. But I will say this, this is Christian doctrine. I don't care what Christian church you go to, they all believe this. At that moment, mankind fell. They fell. Not only did mankind itself fall, but also the world that they lived in was affected by that fall. So that every bad, nasty, wicked, evil, horrible thing that happens is either the result of a human being acting inappropriately towards another human being. Can I get an amen? Or you can even trace back the things that happen on this earth to that very moment when we fail. Now, I want you to understand this. People always say, well, Pastor, that sounds great. But what about cancer? Nobody did anything to anybody to give them cancer. What about tsunamis and tornadoes? You know, nobody did anything to anybody to create a tsunami or a tornado. What do you do about natural disasters and physical ailments that seem to just come out of nowhere? They seem to be natural. They seem to come from you. And I always say this, but you have to have a Christian mindset. You got to believe the Scriptures. If you don't, it's not going to matter. My answers are terrible for people who have no faith in Jesus Christ and the Scriptures. Amen? But if you do, here's the answer, and I promise you it's a good answer. When paradise was lost, the whole thing was lost. I will suggest to you that in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have to worry about tornadoes. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I suggest in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have to worry about cancer. Can I get an amen? Amen? But in a fallen, broken, wicked world, you have to worry about those things. It's part of living in a world that's not always good. Amen? All right. So understand this. This idea of hope, you got to get this. The world is broken. If you place your hope in a broken world, your hope's going to be broken as well, right along with it. Second thing, the world is full of satanic influence. Ooh, Pastor, what are you talking about, satanic influence? We don't talk about things like that anymore. That sounds like some old hellfire, brimstone, paranoid preachers from the 1800s. Well, let me tell you, folks, Satan's real. He's just as real today as he was in the 1800s. And his influence is just as real as it was in the 1800s. And he's hard at work, and he always has been hard at work, making a broken world worse. He's at work making a broken world worse. His one goal is to take the people who God wants to redeem and set free and chain them up, enslave them, and have them living in sin, just as wicked and evil and corrupt as the rest of the world. That's his agenda. So understand, if you're wallowing in this place of hopelessness, and you're depressed today, or you're doubting today, or you're saying, I just don't see how it's going to get any better. I watch the news. I see what's going on with my family. I know what I'm dealing with, Pastor. It's not getting any better. Understand this. You live in a broken world. All right? That's just, we're living here. And secondly, you've got an adversary. Look at this scripture. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober and vigilant, because your what? Adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat you up and spit you out. That's his job. That's what he wants to do. And a lot of times when people lose hope, they say, where is God? It's God's fault. I can't believe God would do this. I can't believe God wouldn't intervene. I can't believe I live in a world where God would let this happen. And I say, God made it good. You messed it up. We messed it up. And Satan's at work keeping it messed up. Can I get an amen? But nobody ever blames Satan. And nobody ever blames themselves. Hello? Hello? Put the blame where the blame belongs. And part of your bad attitude and your hopelessness will clear up right there. Acknowledge this morning that you live in a broken world and you've got an adversary that's making it worse. And he's always trying to make it worse. He's trying to get a hold of you, and he's trying to drag you right into that mess. But you have a Redeemer in Jesus Christ that's trying to redeem you out of it and pull you out of it and set you up with hope for something better. Amen? And because we place our faith in this broken world, we put our hope in this broken world. I got three things today. You ready for them? Three things that people place their hope in, and they get it spit back in their face almost every time. You ready for these? The first thing you put your hope in, this false hope, is in money. You put your false hope in money. You say, if I just had some more money, everything would be okay. Well, how many of you know there's lots of billionaires out there that are not okay? Money can't buy you love. Money can only buy you temporary happiness and entertainment. It cannot buy you joy. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. When you're laying in that casket, money can't buy you out of it. And you can't take a dime of it with you. Are you following me? Money is a false hope. Money is not necessarily evil, but the love of it is. And when you love it, you place your hope in it, and you say, if I just had more money, if I just had the money to pay my bills, if I just had the money to buy that house, if I just had the money to get that car, if I just had the money to send my kids to college, if I just had the money to buy that set of pots I need at Walmart, if I just had the money. Money is false hope. And when the money dries up or runs out, or if you're wealthy all your life and you finally die, eventually the hope in money is lost, false hope. It's no good. But so many of us, we place our hope in money, and when the money stuff doesn't come through, hopelessness sets in. Depression, right? Nothing ever goes right for me. Nothing's going to get better. I never have any money. False hope, people. It'll get you every time. The second thing is this: physical health. See, remember that quote, how things ought to be, how they should be? You think, well, I should be healthy. I mean, everybody should just be healthy, right? I mean, we should just all be perfectly healthy. Well, I got a few questions for you. Number one, how are you going to be perfectly healthy in a broken world where Satan is at work trying to intervene in your redemption? If nothing else, this broken world is full of sickness and disease. Amen? And if nothing else, Satan's going to put some of that on you just to discourage you and knock you back down. Amen? So physical health starts in a really bad place, because when you put your hope in it, it's bound to be dashed to pieces. But secondly, listen to me, folks. Hear me, church. Church, hear me. Physical health, even if you're healthy your whole life, is only fleeting and temporary. The only eternity is with Jesus Christ. This is the way for everybody. Everybody here is on the very same level. We are equal here. There is only one type of real health, and that's to be in a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. Because then you have eternal life. Physical health. You can say, if I just could get better, everything would be okay. If my family member, they would just get better, everything would be okay. If my prayers would be answered here, everything would be okay. If we could wipe out disease in the whole world, everything would be okay. But your problem is everybody's still going to what? Everybody's still going to die. Physical health is false hope. Can I get an amen? Now, this is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God won't bless you with money. Am I saying that? No. He very well could bless you with plenty of money. I'm not saying He won't bless you with physical health or answer your prayers for healing. Don't hear me saying what I'm not saying, okay? What I'm saying is, if that's where you're placing your hope, you are setting yourself up for failure and hopelessness. The third thing, and listen closely, you put your hope in people. You put your hope in people. Here's a really good example. How many of you here would say, Pastor Shane, you've been a pretty good pastor? Raise your hand. How many of you here would say, Pastor Shane, you've been a pretty good example of Christ-likeness in my life? Okay. All right. Now, if you put your hope in my Christ-likeness, you put your hope in my ministry, you put your hope in Shane Matthews as the shining beacon of Smith Chapel Church of God, in the rock that holds it all together, what happens when I fail morally in a very public way? Okay? What happens to you and your hope when I fail? Not saying I will, not saying it's going to happen, but what if it does? You've seen it happen before. Can I get an amen? All right, here, this is just the example of people. You put your hope in a person, that person, when they fail, could lead you straight into the pit. Not because they're leading you there, but because you put all your hope in that person, and that person didn't come through. And that can happen with friends. It can happen with your husband or wife. It can happen with people in the church. It can happen in all kinds of places. When you put your hope in people, you are bound to fail. Amen? Because people will fail you. It's going to happen. You place all your hope in people, eventually those people will disappoint you. Now, we've talked extensively about false hope. Can I get an amen? You ready to hear about the good stuff? You ready to hear about where you can place your hope? Then let's get started. Let's jump right in. Caitlin, bring up our next point. Hope is possibility. Say that to the person next to you. Hope is possibility. Hope is possibility. Hope is believing that something is possible, right? I know this can happen. Right? Let's read this scripture together. This is out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you care for me, and your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now listen, folks, don't misinterpret this verse. People sometimes leave off that first part that I read to you, and they just read you the thing that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and then you assume that everything's just going to go your way. But that's not what this scripture's talking about at all. This scripture is talking about how it is possible for you to be poor and yet still have hope. This scripture is saying that there is possible for you to have no money and still have hope. For you to have no health and still have hope. For you to have no home and still have hope. For you to deal with anything that life throws at you in this broken and wicked and evil world and still have hope. I want to read it again. I want you to see what they're actually saying, okay? It says, I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. Says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be, what? Hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. Says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means that whatever this wicked world throws at me, I can do it. I can stand up to it. I can maintain my faith through it. I can thrive in it. I can have hope. Because who? Christ strengthens me, right? No matter what happens to me, I will not lose my strength because of Christ. Folks, base your hope on the strength that Christ Jesus can give you. And whatever this world throws at you, whether it's good fortune or it's bad fortune, you're going to be fine. You're going to have hope. You're going to believe that things are possible because Christ will strengthen you. Amen? Are you following me? So we're building this foundation. So that's the first thing, is to understand that when things happen in our lives and they're going to happen, we process it differently now, right? Because our hope is not in the world. Our hope is not in money or people or physical health or any of those things that are fleeting, right? It's not in the world. It's going to be in Christ. And He's going to get me through whatever happens, whether good or bad. He's going to get me through it. And here's the second one, and this is by far the most important, so I'm ending with this one today. This is number three. Hope is the promise of good things to come. Now, if you're thinking in worldly terms, you're thinking, okay, hope is the promise of good things to come. That means I'm going to get some of that money, right? Or those people are going to come through, right? Or you know, my husband's going to straighten out. You know, all these things, right? You're wrong. You're still thinking worldly, right? Hope is the promise of good things to come. But for Christians, that's not hope here. That's hope later. And see, when I tell people this and they're going through something and I say this to them, they say, you know, I can tell they feel like, man, that's a cop-out, right? I mean, you know, I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I'm going through this now. This stuff's happening in my life. You're telling me to wait for heaven? You're telling me to wait for resurrection? You're telling me to wait for Jesus to come back? I mean, I want it to get better now. Well, tough. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus got hung on a cross. You're no better than He is, are you? So you're going to struggle right along with Him. But when you read the Scriptures, the beauty of the Scriptures is that they always had hope in something greater than this world. Amen? And Christians, man, we got to understand this in the depth of our gut, man. We got to get it in our mind, in our spirit. We got to know it with every fiber of our being. This is not about this world. These prayers, this experience, none of this. It's all heading towards something else. Right? And this is going to give you understanding in everything. Let's read this Psalm chapter 16, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, my heart is what? Glad. And my glory, what? Rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of what? Life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, at your right hand and pleasures evermore. Now, if you look and you study this theologically, you'll know that the scholars say this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ in His resurrection. But folks, we participate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as much as this Scripture is speaking of Jesus, it's also speaking of us. It's speaking of you. Because when you have faith in Jesus Christ, your soul will not be left in Sheol. Nor will it allow you to see corruption. The Holy One see corruption. You will be shown the path of life. And in that presence is fullness of joy. And at the right hand of God are the pleasures forevermore. Now, Jesus is at the right hand of Almighty God, and He says that we're coming to be with Him one day. That's for us too. That's for us too. And when it says that word Sheol, that's an Old Testament word. Not a lot of people understand what it means. In the New Testament, it's translated as H-E double hockey sticks, right? Hell, it's translated that way. You never heard that one? Okay. All right, so it's translated as hell. But in the Old Testament, you'd be surprised to learn that they had a very different view of hell than we do in the New Testament, right? Their view was you go to the grave. So Sheol literally in the Hebrew means the grave. So He says, He will not leave my soul in the grave. So when this body dies, it's not going to be left in the grave. Are you following the beauty and the hope of this message? It's saying that if you will understand that this earth and this body and all this stuff is going to pass away and it's going to die, but it's all going to be resurrected. That's why our hope is in Jesus Christ. That's why our hope is in the Lord. That's why our hope is in the promises of His Word. That's why our hope is in the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ. And that's why we can have hope when our body dies, Christian. Because we will not be left in the grave. We can have hope beyond this life. And if you have forgotten that, or if you've never understood it completely, you will always be lost in hopelessness because you are going to have only one thing to place your hope in, and that's worldly things. And until you place your hope in heavenly things, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the resurrection, then your hope is always going to be misplaced. So today, here's our application. This is my encouragement to you. Meditate on the true meaning of hope and where you've placed it in the past. If you're here today and you're full of hopelessness or you've been struggling with hopelessness, things just aren't getting any better and you don't feel like they're ever going to get better, maybe you've placed your hope in the world. And that's why you have no hope. That's why you're full of hopelessness. And I want you to go home and I really want you to think about this message and I want you to read these Scriptures and I want you to really ask God, say, God, where am I? Right? What, I mean, am I an idolater? Have I been worshiping the world? Have I been worshiping worldly things? Have you been the center focus of my entire being, or have you just been a sideshow? Because if you're the sideshow, I'm going to always be lost in hopelessness. But if you're the main attraction, I'm going to be filled with hope. It's never going to fade, no matter what happens. No matter what happens, church. Are you going through a difficult time right now? Have you lost or beginning to lose hope? Pray that God will help you transfer your hope away from the world and into His very capable hands.